welcome back to another coffee talk. Well, today is actually a matcha talk. I decided to make myself a vanilla matcha, and I just got a new frother at home too, so I frothed some oat milk with it, and I'm about to do my first taste test. I have not taken a sip yet. I waited so that we could do this together, you know, experience this together, this first drink together. Oh my lord. This is delicious. I actually asked on the Kaylin's Coffee Talk Instagram a few weeks ago what your favorite spring drinks were, and I've gotten so much inspiration from everybody's input. There were so many great drinks to try, and matcha kept popping up, and ever since I've been thinking about it, so I finally picked up some matcha to try. It was Alyssa who said, I've been getting iced matcha lattes in the springtime. Mine isn't iced because it's a little chilly this morning. However, I'm going to try it iced next. She says, I mix it with a little bit of vanilla and oat milk. So Alyssa, I want you to know you inspired my drink today. Thank you so much. Today I want to have a discussion about motherhood, and specifically moving into motherhood without the essence or the guidance of a mother figure. This is obviously a tougher conversation to host for a couple of reasons. I always try to find that balance and walk that line when sharing my own personal experiences, to also protect the privacy of the people that I obviously have had experiences with, if that makes sense. So I have talked in numerous occasions about not being very close with my mom and the ways that it has been difficult, but I've also left a lot of it kind of undetailed for the obvious reason that I still love my mom. That is still my mom. I still want to protect her and protect her privacy in a lot of ways. So I'm not going to get into too much detail about my exact situation with my own mom, but more so my experience, not just with motherhood. I want to touch a little bit on the other aspects too that can be really hard in general as you grow into womanhood without the essence or the guidance of a mother figure, and how tough that can be. And then especially emphasizing moving into motherhood with that. Today's podcast is sponsored by Marley Spoon, and Marley Spoon knows that bland food is boring, so they created the best tasting meal kit that money can buy. So experience the most personalized meal kit with Marley Spoon. Head to marleyspoon.com/offer/talk, and then use the code TALK for up to 25 free meals. That's marleyspoon.com/offer/talk for up to 25 free meals. And make sure you use my promo code TALK so that they know this show sent you. Trade Coffee believes that anyone can make great coffee at home. All you need is access to the best beans, roasted to order and curated for your personal taste, which is exactly what they provide thanks to their in-house team of coffee experts, 50-plus small-batch specialty coffee partners, and 450-plus rotating roasts. So if you love coffee as much as I do, you need to try Trade today. For a limited time, enjoy a free bag and up to $15 off select plans when you visit my link, drinktrade.com/talk. So if you're like me and you're a little chronically dehydrated, then you might like Liquid IV. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, that's all in a singular sugar-free stick. So however you like to hydrate, grab your Liquid IV hydration multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use my code TALK at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using my promo code TALK at liquidiv.com. I want to make a quick disclaimer before I even dive into this conversation, because I want to pay homage to, is that the right saying? I want to honor the guidance that I did have for a very short period of time with Ryan's mom. She was an incredible woman. She unfortunately passed away. I'm trying so hard to move through this conversation because I'm like, I can do this. I can talk about this without getting emotional. Like, but my pregnancy hormones are top peak. And so I'm just gonna just get through it. It's not, I honestly, the way I see it is I'm so grateful to have even had that experience with Ryan's mom. So it's not something I necessarily want to be sad about, but it is just an emotional thing because it does feel so unfair that she was taken from the planet so soon, and not as much as, yes, obviously from the things that I grieve in terms of the the short time that I did have with her, but also just the people that I love that I know miss her dearly. So that's where my emotions come from. And also too, you know, having kids and just knowing that they had one of the most incredible nanas that they're just not going to get to know on a deeper level, on a physical level. So that part is tough. But his mother passed away in 2023. It was when Easton was about 4 months old, but throughout my entire pregnancy and for those first 4 months, I really did get a little taste of what it was like to have a mother figure for a little bit there. And I'm so grateful for that. And so I definitely don't want to host this conversation and just not mention that, because that needs to be, for me, it's very important for me to mention that, because it was so, oh my God. I'm good. I swear. I'm fine. Hold on. It just meant a lot to me. She was like a mom to me during a time where I really needed it most. And if you've grown up without a motherly figure, you might relate to this. You might not. We all deal in very different ways. But one way that I find I deal is I just try and figure things out for myself. Like, it's not that I want to be a martyr about it. It's just more so that sometimes, you know, the cards you're dealt are the cards you're dealt. And so I think because I never had an essence of that relationship to really grieve, it's been like this since as long as I can remember, for, again, very personal reasons, for reasons that I can understand, and also for some reasons that I don't and I will never understand, especially now that I am a mom. So I'm not saying that it is my mom's fault by any means, because I think that she was also dealt the cards she was dealt, which, you know, ripple effect. But my way of dealing has very much been like, this is just my reality. And so I just take it, you know, you just take it and you live and you do what you gotta do. And so part of that comes with sometimes maybe not really knowing exactly when I need that, when I need that figure, because I've never really known what it's felt like. So during times where perhaps the best energy I could possibly call for, ask for, or lean on is something I've never known how to ask for, lean on, or had the resource to do so. So that could be part of why I don't ever seek it out. But I think another part of it is also a little bit of stubbornness. Like, almost a part of me is determined to figure things out on my own because it's always been this way. And so, yeah, it just meant a lot to me that I had Ryan's mom, her name was Vicky, that I had Vicky when I did. Okay, cool it. We're good. We're good. It's just because I never had to ask for it, you know? So, holy smokes, I did not think we were going to get emotional at all in this chat, but especially not this soon. Okay, I did drop some notes so that I had some guidance of like things that I could talk about that I wouldn't veer too far off course, but I want to host this discussion is because that I know my experience is not rare. I know that there are lots of women and girls out there that maybe aren't close with their moms or have sadly lost their mom, or for whatever reason just don't have that figure, that essence in their lives. I know that that's not rare to me at all. So I think it's important to talk about, because I know that if I had found someone talking about this, how just relieving it would have been for me to just know that I'm not alone in that, you know? But I also think too, the really interesting thing about living on the planet is that we all do have such vastly unique and different experiences that maybe even if you do have a very close relationship with your mom or a motherly figure in your life that you really appreciate and get to lean on and have special moments and time with, that it might be interesting to hear what it's like to not have that. And also, I think that it can help us appreciate the things that we do have when sometimes we hear what it's like to not have that thing. Like, we don't mean to take the lives and the people and the experiences we have for granted, but when you get used to what you've got, you might not realize it until you come up upon an experience that's very different from your own. And it's like, wow. It makes you appreciate what you do have. So if you do have that relationship, give your motherly figures a huge squeeze and lots of love if you're listening today. I want to start first with some of the aspects of womanhood that can be a little tough before I move into what it was like to go into motherhood and what it's like to go through pregnancy again and just some of the experiences and some of the anxieties that I have as someone that feels like I don't have that role to lean on. So womanhood can be such a beautiful, eccentric thing. Like, there is so much I love about being a woman, and there is so much that is very sacred about it if you choose to look at it that way. And there is a lot of that that I am only coming to unravel and experience more in adulthood because I didn't have that example growing up. I found this thing on Pinterest, actually. I'll read it out because it was very powerful. Growing up, I never knew a relaxed woman. Successful women, yes. Productive women, plenty. Anxious and afraid and apologetic women, heaps of them. But relaxed women, at ease women, women who aren't afraid to take up space in the world, women who prioritize rest and pleasure and play, women who give themselves unconditional permission to relax without guilt, without apology, without feeling like they need to earn it. I'm not sure I've ever met a woman like that, but I would like to become one. I would like us all to become one. That is a blurb, a piece of writing from Nicola Jane Hobbs. It was so beautiful to stumble across it because it really solidified what, again, even if you have a relationship with women in your life, older women in your life, people that are elder to you, perhaps you didn't know a woman that was relaxed and that was herself unapologetically, or that embraced the essence of what it means to them to be a woman and what that could then pass down to you. A lot of my own femininity in its essence of womanhood, maybe I should just use the word womanhood, a lot of the parts of being a woman I really either rejected or felt very lost in. So I've always come at life, excuse the terminology if this is not the way that you like to use it, because I know that it gets very gender messy, but I feel like I went through a lot of my life using a lot more masculine traits in my interactions with people. So I've never had a whole lot of girlfriends. I always got on better with guys because one thing that I am really lucky is that I have a lot of really amazing men in my life. I have an amazing dad. I had an amazing papa. I have an amazing brother. I have amazing sons now. I have an amazing fiance. So my sister and I became close as we got older, but for a long time, it was just kind of like, there wasn't that role, that essence. So it was tough to become a woman and go through things like puberty and come into adulthood and be a little lost in that essence. I could do so well kind of kicking it and not trying to be like a pick me one of the guys. I was definitely not I wasn't like a tomboy by any means. It was just really hard for me to relax into my softness, to be a relaxed woman, to be a woman that didn't feel like I had to earn every little thing, to be so apologetic, to be so people-pleasing. Like, a lot of the weaker traits that not just women possess, but I just definitely felt like I wasn't being a strong woman or a relaxed woman or an unconditional love for herself kind of woman. When life gets busy, we tend to take shortcuts. But if you want to give yourself a shortcut that is not only delicious, but also healthy, then you want to hear about Marley Spoon. Today's podcast is sponsored by Marley Spoon, and Marley Spoon knows that bland food is boring, so they created the best tasting meal kit that money can buy. And with my code TALK, you can get up to 25 free meals. With Marley Spoon, you can choose from over 100 delicious recipes each week, like Cajun spiced chicken or poached salmon, or if you're a veggie like me, they have things like vegan tahini Caesar salad with crispy chickpeas and radishes. My mouth is drooling. And many of the recipes are also completely customizable. So whether you're looking for vegetarian meals or family-friendly dishes or low-carb options, Marley Spoon has the food that you want to eat. So experience the most personalized meal kit with Marley Spoon. Head to marleyspoon.com/offer/talk and then use the code TALK for up to 25 free meals. That's right, that's up to 25 free meals with Marley Spoon. One last time, that's marleyspoon.com/offer/talk for up to 25 free meals, and make sure you use my promo code TALK so that they know this show sent you. Trade Coffee believes that anyone can make great coffee at home. All you need is access to the best beans, roasted to order and curated for your personal taste, which is exactly what they provide thanks to their in-house team of coffee experts, 50 plus small batch specialty coffee partners, and 450 plus rotating roasts. So whether you like dark roasts or you're drinking a little bit more decaf like I am, or you like more espressos or cold brew or iced coffee, no matter how you like to take your coffee, you can definitely discover the best coffee suited for your taste. And it's not too early to begin thinking about the perfect gift for perhaps your mom or your dad for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or a best friend, or if you know someone that's getting married this season. Whether it's for you or a gift for a loved one, then you definitely can't go wrong with gifting better coffee. The quality of the coffee is amazing. So if you are someone that is a little bit of a coffee connoisseur like myself, then you're definitely going to notice the difference in how good it tastes and just how delicious it is. But also, I love that there's so much variety. You can go on there and try a different coffee every single time. The convenience of it being delivered right to your door, you just can't beat that. So if you love coffee as much as I do, you need to try Trade today. For a limited time, enjoy a free bag and up to $15 off select plans when you visit my link, drinktrade.com/talk. That is drinktrade.com/talk for a free bag and up to $15 off selected plans. drinktrade.com/talk. Something I really need to work on is my hydration levels. I've been told this by my midwife. I've just known this from how dry my lips can be. And in general, I'm just not good at remembering to bring my water bottle around with me wherever I go. So if you're like me and you're a little chronically dehydrated, then you might like Liquid IV. Liquid IV actually quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, that's all in a singular sugar-free stick. What I personally love about Liquid IV is how convenient they are. They're in really easy grab-on-the-go packaging that you can throw in your purse, you can throw in your bag, and then you just have to mix it with some water. It tastes delicious. It makes you want to drink water more, so you won't forget your water bottle wherever you go. And they have a lot of amazing flavors like pear, white peach, green grape, lemon lime, even kombucha. So if you're also a kombucha lover, then again, right up your alley. It's also non-GMO and free from gluten, dairy, and soy. So however you like to hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use my code TALK at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using my promo code TALK at liquidiv.com. So that was really hard. And then I think a lot of just to going into womanhood and not knowing a lot of the physicalities of being a woman, like I rejected my body for so long. I rejected so much of like, whether it was my boobs or literally like not to get too TMI, but to even not know what I looked like downstairs, to not feel like, Am I allowed to say the word vagina on a podcast or on YouTube, to not feel like that was like a beautiful piece of my body, to instead reject it and to almost just deny it, to not even look at it, to not even pay attention to it. And you might experience that even if you had a motherly figure in your life. But when I think about if I were to have a daughter, if I had had a daughter, the things that I would have wanted her to embody and possess, I would have wanted her to embody her body. I would have wanted her to feel like she was allowed to possess the body she was in and that she was allowed to feel proud of it and to feel beautiful in it. And there was a lot of that that I felt I was missing for a long time and that I'm only really teaching myself in this chapter of my life, in my later 20s, coming into my 30s now. Just generally taking care of my body even, and taking care of my skin, taking care of my hair, taking care of all of the parts of my body, my cycle, my hormones. Like, this is also too, not to say that it is the fault again of my mom or of any mom for not teaching a daughter that, because I think that this can be generational, perhaps somewhere along the way. I don't know at what point or in what time period, but there is so much ancient wisdom, so much deep, profound, sacred wisdom of womanhood that has been lost through generations. That, I mean, there was a time where women would spend sacred time together, where if you were on your cycle, you would only be with women, or again, there's so many different old cultures and traditions that we've obviously lost along the way. And some of that is great, but some of it also means that we lost a lot of the knowledge and lost a lot of that sacred wisdom and that embodiment of what it means to be a woman. And that's really sad. It's something that I intend to and have been trying to reclaim for myself, but I will make space for the fact that it's a lot harder to reclaim it and learn it when you're on your own. Now, obviously, with great things like the internet and in adulthood, that where you can choose your friends and you can really reclaim that energy with your girls, and like with finding online communities that really embrace that womanhood. Personally, I still feel like a huge element of it is missing when you don't live in very common day-to-day interactions with a lot of women. It's just a sign of modern living. I love my friends. I don't see them every single day. In my romanticized version of life, we all buy a huge plot of land where we all have lots of acreage to like have our own space and do our own things. But like we could all come together and like have a bonfire every night and dance around it and just really claim that power of being with women. And not only that, I wouldn't just want it to be with my friends. I would want it to be with the younger generations. I'd want my niece there. I'd want my grandmas and my aunts there. Like, it's just something that isn't a reality, and that sucks. But ideally, I think that is a big aspect that is missing, at least in my life and in a lot of the modern age living that we have today. So this has gotten a little bit off topic. Let me veer back towards going into motherhood and what that has been like without that motherly role. Now, obviously, I did have Ryan's mom for good parts of my pregnancy, and she was able to, in a way, almost like a soothing balm, be there. I wouldn't say it in replacement, but she just did things for me that in hindsight now I realize how important they were. Like just going for walks when I was pregnant and telling me about her experience with, funny enough, she also had two boys, like just telling me what it was like for her to go through her pregnancy and, you know, the early days with newborns and how she juggled everything. And in hindsight now, I realize how important that was and how sacred that is to me now. And even just the fact that it was a good God, hold it together. It was his mom too that came over the first time so I could shower and got me out of the house for the first time and got me to travel with my son alone for the first time just to go over to her house and just to go for a walk, and went for my first walk with me. Like huge, huge things. But still, there's like, that wasn't my mom. And also, as much as, like I said, I could have gone to her for anything, I'm a little stubborn. So there were still huge parts of it that were really hard and that were really lonely. And it's hard because I definitely catch myself even still getting envious when I see people that have mothers out there that have really, really close relationships with their mom and have gone into motherhood and have had that mom be there, like come and stay at their house for the first week or two just to help with the night feedings, or just to help like get you in and out of the shower or wash your hair or to make meals for your family, because you go through it when you give birth. Like you're out of commission here, right? I get envious. It's one of my shadow traits, is that I find myself seeing that and then being like, God, how good would that be? But even the deeper parts of it, I think the part that I missed the most and had to figure out the most on my own was the change in identity. When you become a mom, your whole world, your whole paradigm shifts, and it's a beautiful thing. It's something also too that I like to remind myself, and if anyone's listening that wants to become a mom or has just become a mom, or you may already know this, maybe you're more seasoned than I am, but it's not forever. Like your whole paradigm shifts, your world shifts, your universe shifts, and everything suddenly becomes central to this life that you have birthed into the planet. But that's a short period of time, whether it's the newborn phase, the toddler phase, or all of the way up till they're 18. Like that sounds like a long time. It really isn't. Kids are only kids for a short period of time. So even in that feeling of becoming a mom and feeling like, oh, I'm missing parts of myself, or I miss when I had all of this extra time and freedom and energy to really focus on myself, even that would have been one nice to have a mom to remind me, hey, this chapter isn't long and you don't want it to go fast. You don't want it to slip by, because there is going to come a day where your time is yours again, your energy is yours again, your kids don't need you as much. And yeah, you'll have all of that back, but you will never have this back. You'll never have your children's childhood back. So that's an important reminder. But also too, again, comes back to like having that mom that could be like, well, honey, then I'm on my way over. We're going to make tea. We're going to sit down and let the baby, you know, rock in the rocker between us. And we're just going to chat, or I'm going to sit here and watch the baby while you go have a bubble bath, like little things like that. Just to be able to talk about how much it shifts you and it changes you in the beautiful ways and in the tough and the hard ways too. I think even having, again, coming back to the physicalities of being a woman, having that motherly role to just talk to about the physical changes in your body, like, hey, is this normal? Is that normal? Again, so glad I had Vicky, Ryan's mom, for that, because there are some things that I remember asking her, like, hey, is this normal? Should I be worried? And she would be like, no, that's totally fine. You're doing great. Like, but your body changes so much. And even just that, I think having a person to go to and just say, hey, like, my body's changed so much. Like, what do you do with that? And sometimes, you know, it's not even that you're expecting your mom to have the answers or to tell you exactly what to do, because she might not have been given those answers either. I think it's just more so that safe place to land that understands. There's only so much I can talk about with my fiance. And obviously, I'm very grateful to have my sister, who is a mother as well. And we do get to talk about these things, but we're both just trying to figure it out. And thank God we have each other while we figure it out. But it's the elderly aspect of it, right? Like, when you think about the maiden, the mother, and the crone, you need that elder that has walked the path years before you, that can look back in hindsight and give you the wisdom that you're currently learning and downloading. That's the tough part. That's the part that can be hard to just, what's it called, where you just put something in place of something else? God, my pregnancy brain, also wild. Just words just don't exist to me sometimes. It's hard to find a replacement for. It's not the word I want to use, but it's hard to find the antidote to.
Oh, hold up. Smell test. Go ahead. Sniff those pits. Now, your bits. Feet, toes, come on. Could be fresher, right? It's all good. Old Spice Total Body Deodorant Spray is gentle enough to use all over your body, giving you 24/7 lasting freshness with daily use, from pits to toes and down below. So every smell test gets a... Shop for Old Spice Total Body Deodorant.
Now, one thing I will say has been a bit of a blessing in disguise, specifically in motherhood, is that I have learned so much about the things I will and will not do through my experience. And I say that again with lots of grace and with lots of love for my mom, given her who she is and our experience together. But there is a lot now that I look at and I think, I couldn't do that. Or I realize, wow, it's going to be really important for me to prioritize these things. And it's because of, and this is the beautiful thing again, a very, very beautiful perspective on life, is that through our hardships, through the things that we ache for or that we grieve or that we experience, that is sometimes some of the hardest things to go through, we learn so much from. And so there is so much of the mothering style that I have chosen and the way that I choose to parent and the way that I choose to prioritize my life that comes from my experience of not having that role filled in my life, not having that relationship in my life. One of them, and the most important really truly, is that safe attachment. I know what the ripple effects are of not having a safe and secure attachment from infancy through toddlerhood and then through the rest of the years, of course. So it was important to me right away, the minute that I gave birth, that I want my children to feel that safe attachment. I want to bond. I want them to feel my skin, my body, my heartbeat, my voice. I should make a disclaimer before I even say this, that I don't think one parenting style is better than the other. I think just like most things in life, we're all so vastly different. And so the ways that we choose to even parent can be vastly different, and it doesn't make one right and one wrong. So please note that if this is not the way you parented, I'm by no means saying that I've done it better because I chose to do it differently. Let me just say that first before I go into this next part. But it was really important for me not to put my baby down in a dark room alone and expect him to figure out how to fall asleep on his own. Like, that just didn't, in my gut, in my intuition, did not feel right to me. So, Yes, have I? I don't think you can spoil a baby, so let me backtrack. I was about to say spoiled him. Have I held his hand through a lot of the first year? Absolutely. Was it tough? Was it hard? Fuck yeah. I won't minimize that at all. And again, because there wasn't someone to come and kind of take me off duty, but also as a mom, no one can really take you off duty, you know? You're the mom. So whether it's been co-sleeping or it has been breastfeeding or it has been just so much skin to skin contact in those first weeks and even further than those first weeks, or getting nap trapped, or, you know, giving up a shower, giving up that extra hour of the day to myself so that I could be nap trapped or so that I could make sure that my son falls asleep. Even still, sometimes he goes through phases where he's not sleeping as great, and I cannot ever do the cry it out. So I'll be there, and I will continue to be there, because again, this chapter is so short and that safe attachment is so important to me. So that's just one example, but there's so much more. Like, even as my kids get older and they make mistakes, or I go through things where I'm stressed or I'm grieving or something's going on with me or my mental health or whatever it is, like, I just know where my priorities lay, and I know what I will never ever shortchange in order to protect myself or to do what I have to do in order to be okay myself. Like, yes, I am a strong believer that you cannot pour from an empty cup. So I'm not saying that I'm going to destroy my mental health or destroy my physical health or my spiritual health in order to, again, pour into my children, because I also want to teach them healthy boundaries and balance. It's such a sweet dance that life is, because there's so many little aspects that you got to keep an eye on. But more so that I will never ever shortchange them in order to fill back up my own cup. I will never, I don't know, I'll never neglect them. I'll never not notice, not pay attention to just the subtle little changes in their moods, or noticing or asking what they're going through or what's going on in their lives or how they look at the world. Like, I couldn't imagine not doing those things. And again, a lot of that comes from, because I realized now that I'm a mom, like, how could you not want to know those things? So looking towards the future, specifically right now, as I'm pregnant again, this is my second pregnancy, and this time around, I don't have Vicky. This time around, I do have new worries, new questions, new anxieties, new fears. I'm in such a good spot right now where I've got such a good routine. Easton's at such a fun age where he's got such a personality and he's learning so much, but he's also got a little bit more independence than a baby does, right? And I think about how a couple months from now, I'm going to be entering through that tunnel again, the big old tunnel of birth to newborn to now balancing too, because I'm going to be having a baby in August. And there are some things that I made sure as soon as I found out that I was pregnant again, there are things that we put into motion because it just made the most sense for both my fiance and I, and with the life that we live and the things that we need to do in order to feed our families and support ourselves. So Easton does go to a daycare 4 days a week right now, which is perfect for me. And he'll continue to do that when I have my next. However, it doesn't change the fact that it's still going to be a whole new adjustment period with a second one. And this time around, we don't have that extra help with Ryan's mom. So it's a lot to think about. It's a lot. I'm nervous. I'm aware that I am, in a lot of ways, that matriarch. I am that role. I have taken on that role, not just for myself, but also for my kids. Just kind of how I started the conversation, where I said that you're just dealt certain cards and you learn to just take it and you just say, okay, this is life. Like, this is my situation and I'm going to figure it out. Like, that's very much the mindset I have going into almost everything in life, is I'm just going to have to figure it out when I get there. It doesn't mean though that I'm not worried or that I don't think about it. That a part of me isn't like, oh, I know there's going to be a night where the baby's crying and it wakes up Easton, and then it's just, I'm going to be sleep deprived. I'm probably going to need a shower and a meal. Like, I think about these things. I do. But I also am very aware of how much of a gift it has been to experience motherhood myself. And I wouldn't trade it for the world. I wouldn't trade my family for the world. This is all I wanted. This is all I ever asked for. And it does help me not only move through a lot of my own grief with my own experiences as a child and my relationships growing up, my relationship to my own mom growing up, but it also, it heals it in a way that is so profound, and it's so deep, because it gets down right to the sorest spots. And I'm able to override those experiences with, maybe these words won't make the most sense, but the way it feels is, it's like every time I mother my son, or I even mother my second now that I'm pregnant, every time I take care of my body through this pregnancy and through the last pregnancy, because it taught me so much about taking care of my body and how utterly amazing the female body is to be able to do what it does and create life. Every time I do that, every time I hold my son, even when he's having a tantrum or is upset, or that I, you know, I bathe him or take care of him or just nestle his cheeks or cuddle him up, but like just get so overwhelmed and truly oversaturated with love, like pure unconditional love, it heals the part of me, because in a way it's almost like I'm doing it to my own little self. I'm not actually, but through the experience, it's I'm gonna get really, really deep right now. Okay, when you strip away all of the things that make us who we are, the roles, the identities, the names, even the gender, like the ways that we move through life, everything we've come to know for as long as we've lived. When you strip yourself down to the most bare core energy that you are, there is no real like hierarchy of relationships or experiences, right? So in that purest form of experience of mother and child, doesn't matter if I'm the child or the mother, the fact that I'm experiencing it is what is so healing. It's taking away who I am in that experience and what role I play in that experience, and it's leaving me with just that core energy, and that is the healing part of it. So even when I come back down to earth and I ground back down into who I am and into the body I'm living in and the role that I play and the relationships I have and the experience that I might be actively creating as a human being, it's that core energy that's so healing about it, because it doesn't matter if it came from my mom or if it came from me as a mom. Does that make sense? So even with my anxieties, even with my fears of how that adjustment period's gonna be, how work is gonna be, how I'm gonna feed my family for a little while there when I'm probably gonna be man down for a little bit, and just even not having that mom to come over and have tea and talk with me when I have a newborn and a little toddler, and like the 3 days of the week that he'll be home where I'll have two of them, like it'll be tough. I'm not gonna sugarcoat that it won't be. I just posted a quote actually to my personal Instagram, and I feel like it better describes the word salad that I'm making right now, which is like, it's not all sunshine and rainbows, but a lot of it actually is. That's how I feel about it. Like, it's not gonna be all sunshine and rainbows, but a lot of it will be watching my son become a big brother and watching that happened, watching that relationship form, even just how much I remember from my first birthing experience, how close it brought me and my fiance, and how utterly human we felt. Like, it's just there, those, that's the sunshine and rainbows. And I'm just going to try and focus on that and take things one day at a time. But ultimately, I think the biggest gift that I can leave my children behind with, but also gift to myself, like I just explained through the experience of it, is teaching my kids how to be okay within themselves. Like, especially in the modern age where there is so much external attachment. We just talked about this, was it last week in the attachment update? But it got me thinking so much about how much we try to feel safe by using the external world. I think the greatest gift that any parent can give their child is the ability to be okay on the inside. And especially when the time comes where I have to leave the earth and I won't be there for my children anymore, like when you think about what kind of legacy you want to leave behind as a mom, as a parent, and again, how much I've learned about what kind of energy and essence I want to leave behind, not just from my own experience growing up and the things that I felt I didn't have, but also watching and experiencing someone like Ryan's mom pass away and seeing the legacy that she has left behind in my fiance and in the people that love her, but specifically in the motherly role to my fiance. Like seeing the things that, oh God, seeing the things that remind him of his mom. And just, it's always such beautiful things. It's always like nature or gardens or bumblebees or little lessons that he'll like be, he'll just be like, oh, I remember when this happened and like my mom said to do this. So I always do that. Like little life lessons. That kind of legacy was a lot to learn from. And it's a lot that I think about as a mom myself now, like what imprint do I want to leave behind on my kids? Because I know what it's like to not have the best imprint left behind on you. But I also know from that exactly the kind of imprint I am focused on, exactly the kind of legacy that I am focused on. And again, it would be so nice to be able to have that parent, that mom, to talk about those things with, to say like, hey, how do you put your own selfish needs aside sometimes when you're just like at your wit's end? Or, you know, what's the most important lesson for your kids to know at the end of the day? Like, it would be so great to sit down with that cup of tea and have that kind of conversation with a mom that's much older than me. But in a weird way, actually, this is probably the perfect way to end today's coffee talk, because there is one chunk that is this. I don't even think I've ever told anybody this before. So here you go. Here's a very vulnerable piece of information about my life. It's not for any reason that I haven't told anyone. It's just never come up in conversation. But given the relationship that I've had with my mom and it being what it is, for whatever reason, I recall there was a keychain that she gave me at one point. It was silver. I remember it. I don't remember how old I was. I want to say I was like a preteen. And it was to my house keys when I would have to take the bus in the morning. And my mom's always liked really cute little knickknacks and things like that. And so, yeah, I don't know if she had the keychain she gave to me or if she bought it. I don't know. But it was this keychain and it was silver and it said, everything you seek is within you. And it's always stuck with me. And it is a very profound truth that I do try to live my life by and have found a lot of reflections in when it comes to things like yoga philosophy or all of the different types of philosophies that I like to learn about, that everything we seek is already within us. So even if you are someone that, like me, at times seeks that maternal role, that maternal energy, that maternal instinct, that motherly figure in your life, in a way, it's not the same. And I'm not going to try and pretend it is the same. So it's not me to say like, oh, you shouldn't even feel that way because it's already within you. But you can give it to yourself in some ways, in lots of ways, actually. That's, I guess, one legacy that she'll always leave behind in me, or something that she doesn't even know that she gifted me. Is for whatever reason, ever since I was a kid, that quote has stuck in my head that, you know, okay, there's a lot that you weren't able to give me, but it's already within me. And everything that you could possibly seek is already within you. Otherwise, we wouldn't know to seek these things if we didn't already know that they exist, because, and things can't exist unless they exist within us. Like there is a way, an imprint that's already been left. So it's never going to be the same. It's not the same as physically sitting down again across from a mother that has been there for you and walked through all the phases of life with you and held your hand and, you know, picked up the mess when you needed help and flew in when you were in a crisis. Like it's definitely not that, but in an embodied sense, in an essence, you can give a lot of that maternal energy to yourself, even through giving it from yourself. And that's where I feel like might be the perfect place to leave our conversation today. If you are someone that has had a similar experience, I think it could be really great to open up the conversation in the comment section of the video version of today's podcast as like a little resource place. So whether it's a book that you've read, a community that you have found, just something that's really helped you along the way through your life without that maternal role, definitely feel free to share it. There's a book I really want to read next month in May called Mama Rising. I picked it up at the beginning of the year. It's been on my 2024 reading list. I think it'll be perfect for the month of May being, you know, Mother's Day month. So that book, I can't say that I've read it and can recommend it, but it's one that I'm going to be reading that I apparently does talk about a lot of the maternal power and a lot of the womanhood that comes from taking on the new identity and feeling like empowered by that new identity as a mom. So that is one resource that I'll share, but definitely feel free to share your own resources, your own ideas, your own experiences, whether they are with or without a maternal role, whether they are with motherhood or not. I think that could just be a really soothing place to, or a soothing energy to create in the comment section. So please, please feel free to do that. Outside of that, thank you guys so much for joining me for today's conversation. I know it was a little bit more of a vulnerable one, one that could be a little bit more emotional, I guess, but it is one that I think is important to talk about. And it was actually through a pregnancy Q&A that I was doing on my personal Instagram, where someone asked me if I was afraid of losing myself with pregnancy and going through it again and like having another baby and having two babies very, very close. I'm very close to having two under two. They're going to be about 23 months apart, so I'll only have two under two for a month, but it still counts. And my answer had to do with just like not having that matriarchal role and how that definitely worries me. And it's like, it's kind of just down to me to figure out. And I got a DM from someone that really related and asked to talk about it in a coffee talk if I felt called to do so, because they were going through something very similar. And so it did get me thinking about how common this experience is and can be. And I know, again, that I'm not the only one in it or experiencing it or who has experienced it. So definitely know that this is a safe space to, that you can share and that you can open up if you would like to. And with that, I'm cheersing you the last little sip of my vanilla matcha, which I have savored. It's officially an iced vanilla oat milk matcha now, Alyssa. So perfect. And I will talk to all of you guys next week. Next week, we are back to doing a member's advice. And then the week after that, we will have another normal conversation. We're just going to keep going back and forth for the season of spring. So hope you guys are enjoying the coffee talks this season. And I will chat with all of you guys very soon. Bye, everyone.